This week I learned some amazing facts about the human body. Did you know that your body contains over 10 trillion cells, and every hour, 1 billion of them have to be replaced? Did you know that every day your heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels and beats over 100,000 times? Did you know that you get a new stomach lining every 4 days? And if you didn't, the acid in your stomach would eat your stomach. Did you know that your 2 feet have 500,000 sweat glands between them, and you produce a pint of sweat per day from your feet? Ew. Did you know that the human nose and the brain can remember 50,000 different scents? Did you know that our bodies contain 640 skeletal muscles and 206 bones? And on top of that, there are dozens of systems in our body: digestive, immune, muscular, nervous, respiratory, circulatory, that have to all work together, or you'll get really sick or you'll die. Now you're sitting there saying, well, that's interesting. Why are you telling us this? I'm glad you brought that up, because we're in a series on the church, and the human body and understanding it directly relates to understanding the church. In the New Testament, we're given 6 major metaphors of the church: the bride, a building, a branches, family, priest. But the one that's used the most 28 times in the New Testament is the body. We began a series a few Sundays ago on the church. And the first Sunday, we talked about what's really important. What is a local church biblically? That's so important. If you don't know what it is, then how can you tell if you're doing it right? Last week, we focused on the importance of commitment to a local church and how that's a biblical principle. Today, we answer the question, how is a church supposed to function? Now, if you took your dictionary and looked up the word function, you would find that it's normal, required, or expected from a person or a thing. That's the function. So function deals with purpose and design. If you had never in your life seen a radio, and I said, here's a radio, it's good, and you'd never seen one, you would have no idea how to tell if it's a good or a bad radio, because you wouldn't know its purpose. This is a church. How do you know if it's healthy or not? You need to know how it's supposed to function, its purpose. So here's the key. The church should never just decide what its purpose is. The church discovers its purpose one place, through the Word of God. And this particular issue, the church being the body of Christ, 28 times in the New Testament, you'll find it in Ephesians 4, Colossians chapter 1, 2, and 3, Romans 12, but the most extensive is 1 Corinthians 12, and that's why we're going there this morning. So first, let's put this passage in its context. It was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul, 53 to 55 AD, sometime in there, to the Corinthian church that he personally planted. And this happens to be the most dysfunctional church in the whole New Testament. They had issues. And if you go through the book, there's one phrase he uses 8 times. And if you see this phrase, you can outline the whole book. The little phrase is, now concerning. And here's the context. They are writing him, asking questions. He writes back. And in his writing back, he not only answers their questions, but deals with what he's been hearing about them. And every time he gets to a new topic, he says, now concerning. So look at chapter 12, verse 1. New topic. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Now, spiritual gifts, if you want to know how to study those, there are 4 major passages in your New Testament, easy to remember, 2 12s, 2 4s. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. And if you study those passages about spiritual gifts, you'll discover that there are three kinds of spiritual gifts. There are the speaking gifts, there are the serving gifts, and there are the sign gifts, the miraculous gifts that glorify Christ. All three categories are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, to continue to set our context, look at chapter 12, verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Every single believer in Christ has spiritual gifts. They were given to you the moment you were saved, and they're for a purpose, for the common good. You were saved to serve. The body of Christ needs you. Look at chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, underline this, just as He wills. We do not choose our spiritual gifts. They are given to us, and it's under the will of the Holy Spirit as He wills. Therefore, when it comes to the church and I'm a believer, I should enter it saying, I have spiritual gifts, and I'm here to serve. I should not be asking all the time, what can the church do for me? I should be asking, what can I do for my church? Because I'm here to serve it. Now, this text, before we get into it, he bookends it by stressing a major theme, and I want you to see that. Look at verses 12 and 13, and then verse 27. Here are the bookends. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Then go down to verse 27, the same idea. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Now, here's our takeaway. When you think of the church, it is not a building. It is not an institution. The church is people. People who've received Christ, they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, placed into the body of Christ. In other words, none of us got up today to go to church. You got up as the church, because that's what you are, and you came together to worship God. Now let's look at verses 12 and 13 and dig a little bit deeper. Look at verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members. When you look at what follows this, you're going to see in verses 14 to 19, he's going to stress the many members theme. And then he turns around and says, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one. You will discover in verses 22 to 26, he's going to stress the one body aspect. He'll deal with both sides. And folks, we fall off the horse on both sides. He's going to deal with the peril of the pendulum. And let me ask you right up front, do you ever compare yourself to other believers? Am I the only one? Yes, I see those hands. That's what he's going to tell us, and you're going to see that when you do comparisons, you know what happens every time? You either feel like a worm, inferior, or you feel superior. You fall off the horse on both sides. He's going to tell us that and then how to correct it. Now look at verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. That little phrase, baptism with the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully to this. You only find that 7 times in the New Testament. And you put them all together, this begins to make sense. The first 4 times came out of the mouth of John the Baptist. And in each gospel records it. He says, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now here's what he's telling us. Jesus is the baptizer. The Holy Spirit is the agent. We receive it. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The next 2 times are in Acts, which is quoting what Jesus said, which John said about Jesus. It just quotes it. That leaves only 1 other place, this verse. And this verse speaks volumes. Do you see what it says? Did you notice all is mentioned twice? You all, every believer, have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptism with the Holy Spirit takes place the moment you were saved. Now, some folks say the evidence that you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. This text says that ain't so. Because verse 30 says, all do not speak in tongues, do they? No, but all have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptism with the Holy Spirit happens the moment you trust Christ. It simply means the Holy Spirit makes you spiritually alive. You're now a member of the body of Christ. That comes with your salvation. You never get more of the Holy Spirit than you got the day you were saved. But guess what? He will get more of you. You are baptized, sealed, and dwelt with the Holy Spirit, but you're to be filled, controlled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read through 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see a word mentioned 13 times. The word is member. You're a member of the body. When we stress membership in the church, it's a biblical term. But we look at it from two angles. Angle number one, when you come to Christ, you're automatically a member of the universal body of Christ. That's who you are. Now you are to express that in a local assembly where you make a commitment, you live out your identity as a member of the body of Christ. Now, when we go through our passage today, there's one big idea. And I want to drive this home so you walk away with one idea to think about all week long. In Colossians 1:18, it says, Jesus is the head of the body, and we are members of his body. Here's the big idea. God designed the local church to function like a healthy human body. Say that with me. God designed the local church to function like a healthy human body. He designed the universal church to function that way. This passage is focusing on a local church. What does it look like on a local level? And there are three things he's going to bring before us. The first one is our tendency to compare and feel inferior. That's in verses 14 to 19. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. He's going to stress the many member aspect of the body and all of the implications. Here's the first one. Look at verses 15 and 16. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. Now, what he's getting across is every member matters. That's what he's saying. Therefore, every member matters. Everyone that belongs to Christ. Let me tell you the spirit we want so much at Cherrydale. Anytime this body gathers on Sunday morning, the spirit we want to communicate to every person is you are welcome here. You are loved here. We're thrilled you showed up. You matter. Now, I'm a flawed individual. I'm a clay pot. And James 3 says, if you're a teacher, you get a stricter judgment, which means be careful with your tongue. And I've been known to overstate. Can you believe that? I've overstated every once in a while and used words that could have been said better. I did that last week. So this is confession time. Last week, I talked about membership, which I strongly believe is biblical, but I used an illustration and a word, parasite. Some of you may have translated me this way. Well, I come to Cherrydale and I'm not a member. Are you calling me a parasite? No. And I don't want you to think I'm judging you. The term means if you're a believer and you never show up at church, you never contribute, you only take. That's what parasite means. Here's what I want to say to you. Sometimes when I exhort you and encourage you, if I use vinegar instead of honey, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather do it by love and encouragement. So if I offended you, please forgive me. And I'm a clay pot. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. If you were up here, you might mess up too. That's what happens, okay? But that's my confession. That's what you're supposed to do. Make it right. Now, I want you to notice something in verses 15 and 16. Notice he says it twice. Because I am not. Now, here's what he's done. He says, we're going to play a little pretend game. We're going to look at the body and then take a member and we'll listen to the member talk. This is a selfish member of the body who's doing a comparison, looking at other members and saying, you're really awesome. And I'm not you, so I'm not a part of the body. None of us have ever done this, have we? We compare and we feel inferior. Look, all my stages as a pastor, I've done this. And I still struggle with it. When I was a young pastor, I wanted to be able to write like Chuck Swindoll. I wanted to evangelize like Billy Graham. I wanted to preach like Charles Stanley. I wanted to have insights like C.S. Lewis. And I flunked in all of those. All I was left with was me. And then God just says, hello, that's all you got is you. So stop comparing. Because here's what comparison reveals. It reveals that you're no longer listening to the head. You have turned your eyes in on yourself. And you've become full of self and a cancer cell in the body of Christ. That's what we all tend to do. Comparisons are odious. How do you get rid of that? Listen to the head. Accept this is the way he made you and start serving the way he designed you to serve. You know who George Whitefield was? He was a great evangelist from England, teamed up with Wesley. He came to the States. Massive revival, first great awakening. Benjamin Franklin did an experiment when Whitefield was speaking, and he said he could speak to 30,000 people without a microphone and everybody could hear him. Amazing. I want to tell you something about Whitefield you may not know. He was cross-eyed. Did you know that? Can you imagine a cross-eyed evangelist? I mean, imagine Billy Graham and he's cross-eyed. That didn't intimidate him. He leveraged it for the glory of God. But can you imagine if he was comparing himself with others instead of just blooming the where God planted him? Comparing is an evidence that I'm selfish, I'm doing damage in the body of Christ, and I'm making it all about me. When we look at the body of Christ, we have to get this in my mind, in our minds. I matter. And what I do affects the whole. I'm not an independent agent. There was a group of people who were on a large yacht. And they went down to their bunks. And they were in their little cabins. And the captain of the ship was going around checking, making sure everybody was okay. And he noticed some smoke coming out from one of the doors. So he knocked on the door. Nobody answered. He opens the door and he sees a man under his bunk, sees his legs. And he looks closely, and the guy's got a blowtorch putting a hole in the side of the ship. And he says, what are you doing? He says, go away. It's my bunk. I can do with it whatever I please. You put a hole in your bunk, the whole ship goes down. There are a lot of people in the body of Christ putting holes under their bunk, not realizing what I do affects the whole body. Major implications on this. Look at what he says on verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Overemphasizing one member of the body, making comparisons, you're out of touch with reality. Did you know that you have 640,000 feeling receptors on your body? Every one of them matter. What if your finger you couldn't feel anymore? Did you know that in your nose there are 5 million receptors so that you can smell? Aren't you grateful they're there? Verse 18 and 19, he says, look at this truth. Here's where healing comes. Truth sets you free. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? Here's the truth. God puts you exactly where He wants you to be, and He tells you to delight in that. Now, since this is talking about spiritual gifts, and in the evangelical community, there are waves of things that run through, and about 30 years ago, there was a huge wave, and it was all about discovering your spiritual gifts. And in my first church, I got caught up into that. I was in Oregon. Now, listen to this. 30 weeks on a Sunday night, a series on spiritual gifts. 30 weeks! And I had everybody take a spiritual gift discovery and interview 10 people so the people in the church could tell you who you're, how you're gifted. Here's what happened. The whole body was totally confused and frustrated. I had people coming to me saying, this guy says I'm that guy says I'm this. I don't know who I am anymore. And then it dawned on me, there must be something wrong with this picture. So I went back to the New Testament. Instead of reading the books, I went to the New Testament. And here's aha moment. Never once in the New Testament does it tell you go discover your spiritual gift. It doesn't exist. So I wrote an article, Freedom from the Discover Your Gift Syndrome. It does tell you to do this. Serve, love people. Byproduct, you'll discover how God wired you. So the focus is on hearing the head, serving others, not gazing at your navel. This is why church discipline is important. Do you know what church discipline actually is? It's members of the body seeing another member who's in sin, loving them enough to say, we are determined to restore you for your good and the body's good. That's why it's important. This is an implication. Another implication. Do you know what the number one need in the church is from day one till now? Never changes. Number one need. It's the functional centrality of the gospel, which means this. Stay in touch with the head. Know who you are in Christ. Act like it in the power of the Holy Spirit and serve. And that brings healing to the body. So there's his point. God designed the body to function, the church to function like a healthy human body. Therefore, every member matters. Now he's going to turn the coin over and look at comparison from the other angle. First you had those compare and they feel inferior. Now you've got comparison and you feel superior. And look how he deals with that beginning in verse 20. On the contrary, it is much truer of verse 20. Yeah. On the contrary, where is verse 20? There it is. But now there are many members, but one body. He's going to focus on the one body aspect. Now listen, he's going to take another member and say, listen to how they talk, self-talk. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which we seem to be weaker are necessary. Now the key phrase, I have no need of you. Now be very honest. Do you see members of the body of Christ and when you see them coming, you begin to think, I really don't need you, you're a growth accelerator, I'm out of here. Have you ever done that? That's sinful. That's not listening to the head. And you're doing a comparison saying, I could get along fine without you. That's not what the Bible teaches. In my first church, my office was such that I could look out the window and see who was coming. And I was extremely busy one day, and I saw a man, an older man, stop his car, and he was coming to see me. And I knew he was from the seminary, and I was thinking, I don't have time to mess with him. So I called my secretary and I said, tell him I'm busy. So I took care of that and thought he was gone, opened my office door, ran right into him. So I said, well, come on in. He sat down and it was like a branding iron. God walked into the room. The man laid hands on me. He prayed for me. He encouraged me. It's like he could read my soul and he left in 5 minutes. I saw him 3 days later at a pastor's meeting. He did it again. And I walked away from that saying, I am an arrogant. I thought I didn't need you. And God sent me a man who took his time to come bless me. I need him in the body of Christ. We need each other. Never say, I have no need of you. That's how your body functions. Look at how he drives that home, 22 to 24. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Now, think about your eye. Suppose it said, you know, that eyelid? I mean, you cover me up all the time and keep people from seeing how beautiful I am. So leave me alone. The eye would die without the eyelid. Or the tear ducts, or eyelashes, or eyebrows. They all matter. And those members of the body which deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And the word bestow literally means clothe. And the less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas the more presentable members don't need it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members are honored with it. In my early days, we had 6 adults who were mentally handicapped in our church family. And my pride was exposed because we had a vacation Bible school going on. We were busing children in. And one of these adults came to me and said, I want to work on the bus. I said, great. And then she walked into my office very excited and said, I led a little girl to Jesus. I said, that's wonderful. Underneath, I was thinking, did you really? When she walked away, my phone rang. And it was the father of that little girl. And he said, I'm just calling to tell you, whoever spoke to my child today spoke directly to their heart. She's born again, and I thank you. And I walked away from that saying, I'm arrogant. I just disregarded her. How many of us do that? The body doesn't work that way. Your human body doesn't work that way. If we're connected with the head, every member is honored. Do you have any people in your life who are fellow believers and you've been playing a record? I don't need you. That's a dead giveaway. You're not listening to the head. Jesus would never say that. Look at verses 24 to 26 again, how the body cares for it and God is placed in the body. Here are the evidences that we're a healthy church. When one member hurts, the other members hurt. When another members rejoice, we all rejoice because we're under the head building each other up. One of my heroes at Cherrydale is Bunny Long. He's 97 years old, still bright, drives his car. And he called me yesterday because his bride of 67 years died. Can you imagine 67 years? So I'm praying for him. We're planning that service. And I got the word out immediately, this body all over Bunny, to minister to him. Yesterday afternoon, Carlos Dimas in our church, his wife and I planned a surprise birthday party for him. Packed out yesterday, just honoring him. And everybody felt honored to honor him. One member honored, we're all honored. Those are marks of a healthy church. When John Wesley was leading the Great Awakening in England, thousands of people were coming to Christ, and he would get them all into small groups where they were accountable. The established church hated that. And they would come to Wesley and make statements like this: religion's a private matter. I mean, we want to go to church and be fed and then leave. This small group sharing your guts, we don't want that. Here's how he would respond very calmly. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, admonish one another. Hebrews 10:25 says, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. Romans 12:15 says, when one is joyful, we're all joyful. When one weeps, we all weep. And then he'd just say, so How can we do that if we don't gather and share our lives with each other? You can't. That's how a healthy body functions. And here's what I would say as a takeaway. We grow in Christ not just by taking in knowledge. If that's all you do, it'll puff you up. It'll make you feel superior or inferior. You grow by commitment and connection with others in the body of Christ. That's when you grow. You take the truth and apply it, because God designed the church to function like a healthy human body. Now he's going to tie this all together in verses 27 to 31. Look at what he says, our last therefore. Therefore, act like a member of the body of Christ. Act like it. Act like you're submitted to the head, ready to serve. Verse 27. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. You are Christ's body, part of the universal body of Christ. Individually, you matter. And it shows up in a local assembly. You matter. Now look at what he puts God in here. And God has appointed in the church first apostles. They were the foundation. That's our New Testament. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. Now, he's not contradicting himself. He just told you don't compare, and one member is not more important than the other. And here he says, one, two, three, four, and then greater. He doesn't mean greater in importance on the gifts. He means when the whole body comes together, the greater gifts are those that are greater in this sense. They bless the whole body if they're exercised when everybody gathers. The speaking gifts, where you're connecting with the head through the word. Everybody builds it up. That's why he follows this by saying, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret. And then verse 31. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a more excellent way. Here's what he's saying. The body as a whole, whenever you gather, desire that the greater in the sense of blessing the whole gifts are exercised, and do it in love. This is why most of our service is singing hymns, teaching, to build the whole body up, and that all those gifts really matter. And he goes right into love and how important it is. Listen to Ephesians 4. This is a direct parallel, and it explains what he means. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 is a verse you may have just run by real quick. I've run by it for years and I had an aha moment on it. Ephesians 2:17, Paul is writing to the Ephesian church in Asia, where Jesus never went. And here's what he says. Christ came and preached to you. Jesus never went there. How could he say that? Because the body of Christ went there, and you're connected to him. So Christ was preaching through his body. In World War II in England, many churches were bombed. And there was one particular church in London that had a huge statue of Christ up front with his hands outstretched. And during the bombing, a beam came and cut off the hands of Christ. So after the war was over, they're rebuilding the church, and they were going to raise money to give Jesus his hands back. And then they decided, don't put them back. Leave them off to remind us we are his hands. We're his hands. Now, think about, have you ever gone to the fair and you put your head in one of those little holes and it has a weird body and they take a picture and laugh at you? Now, think about this. Jesus is the head. We're the body. Would people look at that and say, or would they say, that matches the head? That's beautiful. I want to be a part of that family. You bring it all together. Here's some practical ways to apply this. You're a part of the body of Christ, expressed on a local level. So tonight we have a members gathering. If you're a member, come. If you're checking us out, come. That's a responsibility of a member. We've got mission trips coming up this summer. Prayerfully consider joining the body of Christ, expanding the gospel around the world. By the way, we have a parking problem. We've been having our trustees check that out. Join the pastors in parking off campus so we make room for other people. It's a way of serving. VBS is coming up. Need for nursery workers. All kind of needs in the body. Are you in the habit of saying, how can I serve? When you show up on Sunday, do you come preparing ahead of time, praying about where you might sit, and when you're talking to other people, are you thinking, it's all about me, I can't wait to talk, or how can I listen to you? How can I carry another burden? How can I serve you? That's what a healthy body looks like. And here's what dawned on me. This is so important that God has given every one of us something we carry around with us 24/7, 365. We can't escape it. Our bodies, to remind us of this truth. God designed the local church to function like a healthy human body. What a reminder. So let's pray. Let's go back to Jesus, stay connected to the head, and act like the body of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you constantly, faithfully, as the head, minister to us, the body. Help us to not be selfish, but submitted to the head, serving eagerly. Lord, help us all to be content with the way you designed us, to stop comparing. And make us a church that really does spread a passion to love God and people above all else. Lord, you're our head. We worship you and we adore you and we submit our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.